You guys are all set.
Okay. So welcome to the Arizona State Hospital and Independent Oversight Committee meeting. It is 6 o'clock and we will begin. So far we have myself, Chuck D, Kay, Melissa and Alice, which gives us quorum. Absent is Natalie, Kim, Ashley and Barb, who I think I expect to join. So we'll see if she joins later. Welcome again. And before we begin, does anyone have a disclosure of conflict of interest? None being heard, let's move on. Now, since we didn't have quorum last month and we didn't meet, the last meeting minutes would have been when I sent them in July for the August minutes. Has everyone, can you even remember what they said? Because I need a motion to approve the July meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Okay.
I'll second it. This is D.
D, Chuck. Okay, I'm taking notes as well, so I am multitasking tonight. Minutes. First. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, thank you guys. And as far as updates from ADOA, Larry, do you have any updates from ADOA?
No, ma'am, I don't have any updates for the group tonight.
Okay, I didn't see Jack Potts on. The updates from other IOCs, I can get this out of the way now. Basically, most of you have seen, I sent around the Access Olmsted report, and I also sent around a ACME Olmsted report, which was unofficial, but it had been like since 2003. So a group at ACME went ahead and put together a comprehensive Olmsted report. Right now, Access has open comments until September 22nd. The IOCs, all of them, the oversight committees for people with mental illness and for DD, we have met together twice. And I think each of us are going to try to comment. Now, I sent it out. If anyone wants to comment or has anything in specifics that you would like to see, the Access comment for the Access Olmsted plan, you can go in there as an individual. You can send me your comments. Just don't copy everyone because that would violate the open meeting law.
This is Kay. Possible to receive a copy of this because I didn't receive anything and I can't get to the website.
Okay, what I can do is Frederica and Larry, if you have copies of that, since Kay can't, can we send those to the hospital and ask them to print it out and get it to Kay and then she can call me and tell me what her comments are?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay. Thank you. That's great. So if you have, we're going to further work on it a bit, but if you have any comments, you're free to do so as an individual. You're also free to send me your comments. I'll compile them and turn them in as an IOC. If, just saying, certain members of the IOC, and we don't have to take a vote on it, from what I understand. Okay. No updates from others other than the Olmsted review of action items. I'm back over there. As far as the retaliation review concerns, we motion that Ash would like to discuss the concerns further. They invite the chairperson. Oh, that was in minutes. Sorry about that. Let me pull the right one. Oops. Action items. I have to pull that from, I'll go find what they sent back to us. Let's see, follow up on ongoing or previous discussions, staffing, retaliation. We had that new patient letter previously. And we wanted to now vote to see the video. Now, the decision, and that was the one where the gentleman was in the restroom, and the allegation was that staff knowingly was kicking the door, which upset the person. They came out, and then I think they had, it resulted in a code gray, if I recall correctly. It's been a while. Now, the person wanted us to see the video, but we had already gone to public comment and didn't vote on it. So does anyone on the call want to see that video? Basically, we got the letter today, the decision letter, that said, let's see. The findings were that investigators spoke to the person on July 26th. They stated they received an email from their social worker regarding the incident on July 5th. The person stated what bothered them was staff member knocked on the door with their foot. Went on to say, you can't knock on the door with your foot. It means you kicked the door and that upset you. They also stated they have had issues with that particular staff member before. When they stated they were in the restroom, they began banging on the door. They stated, asking them to come out, confronted the individual. Other staff intervened and the code was called. The ward states that the patient always has issues with this member. Went on to say, based on the aforementioned findings, your grievance could not be substantiated as there is not a preponderance of evidence to suggest that the kicking of the door was intentional to escalate the ward. In fact, the involved staff member was not aware of who was in the restroom and was just asked to knock on the door as he passed it. Since the staff member had something in his hands, he decided to lightly kick the door. The staff member was educated regarding how to properly knock on a door by leadership, as this was not the best practice. Therefore, the right says the individual receiving behavioral health services for a person with serious mental illness have not been violated. If we disagree, we may file an appeal. The guardian may file an appeal. The question is, do we want to request that we go in and review the video?
This is Kay. I motion to review the video.
Yeah, this is Melissa. I would go too.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see any harm in us having a look at it.
Okay. So I heard first from Kay, a second from D, and followed up by Melissa. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So we will go ahead and request that we view the video. While we're on that note, since it's right here in front of me, Ash has rescheduled the civil forum to October 14th at 9 a.m. The reason why it's been a while is that we have a new patient advocate. Jackie has finished her master's in psychology, and she is now working for the psychology department. So we have a new person, and the new person was trying to, learn the job and get her training done. So October 14th, 9 a.m., I will be in attending, and anyone else that would like to be in attendance can go, as long as we don't go over six people. It'll be on the civil forum.
Do you want to know now, Lori, who wants to go?
No, you can text me.
Okay.
Okay. There was another... Let's see, there was another decision letter, and that one, that decision letter was a little perplexing because they sent it to Alice. I don't know if you got it, Alice, but it's stating that I just got it. It was uploaded August 29th. And it was loaded to the server, so I just pulled it down today. But they said they conduct
August 29th. I did not get that one. I was wondering where it went. Just so you know.
Okay. Okay, it may have been after that. That's the date on the letter, but it said findings during the interview process, and it's assigned to you. It's addressed to you, Alice. It says during the investigation process, the assigned investigator spoke to the aforementioned patient, and he stated he was being retaliated against by patio time being taken away from patients on the unit due to a complaint filed to the IOC. Patients not being appreciative for that or what the staff does for them. The assigned investigator spoke to you. You immediately said, I'm not attacking, just looking for us as a team to get the best patient outcomes. And you cited multiple charts, entries that you received, reviewed to be qualitative opinions as opposed to being clinical in nature. Also, you stated your opinion as to how the PSRB would have to approve transition to a less restrictive living conditions. Investigator spoke with the Mojave unit staff member who stated that was not the case, cited his unit uses the patio more frequently than any other forensic unit. He also spoke with the Mojave nursing supervisor who adamantly stated that was not the conversation that took place and stated the patients on the unit were advised that due to lack of staff, patio time would not take place if there was not sufficient staff coverage, as it was a safety concern and it was addressed as such to all patients on the unit. Finally, the assigned investigator reviewed multiple areas of the patient chart and found the entries made were in fact clinical in nature and were in no way inappropriate or retaliatory in nature. And then the conclusion was talked about protection from abuse, neglect, exploitation, mistreatment, and it gives a list of things that would qualify as an allegation of abuse, neglect, exploitation, and mistreatment. So what would you guys like to do on that finding?
I know for sure that I didn't get that letter, but I mean, it sounds like, you know, and as far as looking at clinical stuff in the chart, I mean, I still had, I guess, limited chart, but you know, I'm not gonna go. I've already given all my information, so I don't know what else to say.
This is Kay. I don't know anything about the retaliation, but I do know that Mojave does, that is a true statement, that Mojave does get a lot of patio time. They do. They probably get the most in the on the forensic side.
Okay. So if that's the case, then if we want to move on, again, we want to make sure people get timely medical care. We did have 5 visits last month. We haven't had any yet this month, and we also wanted to talk a little bit about the PSRB delays. So before we start, and I also got a new patient email today about another patient concern on civil that we can discuss shortly. But before I go on to any of those, Melissa, would you like to report on our patient visits?
Sure, I can do that, Lori. I'm just trying to see. I have my notes from 8/23. Is there anything before that that we missed? I think so. Okay, so yeah, let's see. Well, one of the patients that we talked to was a pretty positive check-in. You know, we had asked all the questions about if they were being treated well and you know, timely care, understanding treatment and treatment plans and medications, and didn't have any concerns, and also voiced that in their opinion that the staffing was getting better. So that was one of the patients we met with. The next patient had issues with, okay, I guess hamburgers had, there was an issue with, sorry, there was an issue with foods that had too much unsaturated fats like hamburgers. And so this individual was voicing that they were eating a lot of peanut butter and jelly, but that they're not supposed to be eating that. I think there were some other issues too with what they eat when they replace the hamburgers and other foods. So when they replaced it with chef salads or tuna salads, I think there was ham or pork in some of the foods. So there were some, there were challenges with that because this individual didn't eat pork. And also some issues with some of the food tasting funny.
I think for that one, what I had too was that there were a lot of chef salads, tuna, ham, sausage sandwiches, and beans that tasted metallic, right? Out of a can. But the majority of his complaint was about they want hamburgers back, and they don't want sandwiches. And if they're going to have sandwiches, they have to be something that people can eat if they don't eat certain meats and milk going bad, right?
Yeah, spoiled milk. That's right.
Yeah. And then they wanted to know about hearing aids, if they were allowed to get, asking the doc to send them for hearing aids. And they also said they had a long wait to get their podiatrist appointment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I think that's all I had for that patient, Lori.
Okay. The other thing I knew about the first one was that their complaint when they asked to talk to us was that when Ash has to move people between units, sometimes it's emergent, sometimes it's after teams review some of the dynamics among, in each of the units, and they really wanted to request that they give them more time, because sometimes they say, pack up, you're going, and yet they have 30 minutes. And what happens is they often lose a lot of their belongings, and they wanted to have 12 to 24 hours notice if it's not an emergency. But by the time they move to another unit and they call back, their things are gone, they can't find them, and it's a problem. Okay, and then the next one, do you want to go on?
Yeah, sure. Then the next patient had expressed some concern with, I guess, a individual, a sponsor who typically visits the unit, and I guess had been coming for a very long time, was, in their opinion, kind of restricted, and they weren't sure why this individual had been restricted. And I think this patient also had some personal things where the sponsor was going to pick up something for them, and that exchange couldn't happen because the sponsor wasn't allowed on the unit. And so there was some concern over that, and it wasn't very clear.
I think we can bring up the details when we meet with the administration, because it was interesting because they asked them to get something and they pay them. And when they came in, the person was somehow accused of trying to sell and take advantage of patients when he, for years, donated time putting on AA meetings for 10 years at Ash as a volunteer. So it was bizarre. So we can ask about that one.
Okay, good. Okay. So then the next patient was, had some concerns about their clothes. I think there was some inconsistency in what they were seeing. For instance, they had some decorative chains on their clothes. Plastic looks like metal, but they had also seen, longer necklaces and other types of like belts with metal studs or things that certainly seem to be more safety concerns than what the decorations were on their clothing. They wrote an appeal, and I think we probably want to follow up to see why it doesn't seem to be consistent. There was also maybe an appearance that one unit might be able to wear more than another unit. Mm-hmm. And so again, that just goes back to the consistency question. You know, also commented that they should be able to, you know, practice their religion, mm-hmm. because some of the clothing was maybe dark or gothic. And so was, you know, concerned about their religious freedom. And it appeared that others on other units were able to wear what they could not.
Okay, we can bring that up when we meet mm-hmm. with the administration as well. I think just the certain units, if they have, especially on the civil side, not, I don't think, not so much on the forensic, where you have a lot of self-harm, they can't, they have a lot more restrictions on what they can wear. You know, can't have belts, they probably can't have chains. So I think, I don't know, but I think there may be some valid reasons for more restrictions on certain units if people that have self-harming behaviors are on those units.
Mm-hmm. And then should I go through the next? This was a lot about a lot of different issues. Go ahead and go through that.
Yeah.
Okay. So then here, you know, I'll just list off some of the other concerns. Some of the units. Oh, that's right. This was for the last meeting, I think. Some of the units last time waited 30 minutes before administration informed them that the IOC meeting was canceled. So, you know, I think we can do a little bit better on that communication, hopefully. Another individual had, you know, requested that they seem to be moving around more from unit to unit, and it would be, you know, it would be beneficial to have 12 to 24 hours notice so that they're able to pack and, you know, get all their stuff together before moving to another unit. Another patient, I think, offered to, I guess, sponsor a Catholic chaplain. Mm-hmm. They were offering their own sort of financial reward for that. It seemed that the staffing was getting better, that there were a lot of the time it seemed like there were 2 to 3 techs at a time. There was another night where there were 4. The pay increases seem to be starting to work. I think they're starting to see the results of the pay increases. So that's a really good thing. Let's see. There are some security officers who want to be techs on forensic. However, I guess there's a protocol or a policy where administration says, you know, they have to go through maybe civil first. And so I don't know if that can be addressed, but I guess some of these individuals had preferences to be on forensic. Housekeeping seems to be getting better, cleaning the floors and the toilets and everything, that seems to be getting better. So that's another really good thing. New administration changes seem to be working out pretty well, there's more listening and, you know, going around to the units more about once a week, and things seem to be improving. Yeah, I think that's all I had for that. Did you have anything to add, Lori?
No, I think it was surprisingly, it was Melissa, Chuck, and I, and it was surprising how positive, I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 were, and then we had one person that is still has the same complaint in regard to pet therapy, and they have a court case going on against the hospital with their ongoing litigation, not having their therapy dog, and and when the hospital did do therapy, they only had the volunteers come in a few times. I know when we brought that up in the forensic form, I think they said they were trying to get more people, more dogs, and more time to come in.
Yeah, that's related to the next patient, right? Lori? Mm-hmm. I think the other issue too is still about treating the autism too, right?
Yeah, treating ASD. Yep.
Yeah, it's still challenging getting those services, those programs. Let's see. Sorry, I'm just looking at my notes. I have a lot. Oh, there was also same patient, a delay in ordering medicine for migraine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was definitely a concern, and so that was something to follow up on. And similarly brought up being in the least restrictive and most integrated environment. You know, it's just sort of reinforcing that point. A lot of notes. I think that's
The thing that I was asked about too is, I can't recall because it's been years since I've seen it, but I think it'd be helpful if we asked Ash again for what are the rules for persons that sign a guilty, accept, insane, or any of those plea bargains after being, you know, going to jail or prison, they go to the forensic unit. But I think there are rules that they have to serve some portion of their whole sentence. There's some amount that they can get out early, but they can't get in there and within a month say, I'm doing great, I want to get out. If their sentence in prison would have been 15 years, I can't remember the rules. So for me, I think it'd be a good refresher if they could send us those guidelines again.
This is Dr. Potts, if I may address that.
Yes.
It's changed from administration to administration. To my understanding, the only statutory provisions are that they're not allowed to request a hearing in less frequently than every 2 years. That was changed because of a patient called Rich Stevenson. So the person, unless the hospital requests a review, they are not allowed to, the patient / inmate is not allowed to do so unless it's 2 years. That's number one. Number two, years ago, one of the CEOs, or medical officers, CEO, had a written policy that they'd have to serve 50% or 80% or whatever time. Which is obviously was problematic, and I think it's a very good question you have, because people were being denied because of this sort of written memo that was not policy and probably was illegal to do. So that's a good question, but my understanding is that there is none, and furthermore, if it's a non-dangerous crime, then they have other statutory limitations and they can get out within a much briefer period of time. So it depends on, number one, is it a non-dangerous, i.e. a significant threat to others or life or whatever. And number two, If it is a dangerous one, which most of them are, then I think the only limitations I recollect are they cannot apply until every at least 2 years or so. And anything else would have to be interior in memo or procedure from the hospital, which I think could be challenged because it certainly isn't an individualized treatment plan. Anyway, that's my recollection.
Thank you, Dr. Potts. Sounds like you're still sick. Like you have a cold.
I'm doing better, but thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what we had for patient visits, which was a little surprising. Now I was going to tell you what passed down from the ASH administration today was. One, there was a as far as a patient assaults, again, I haven't had any on forensic for the month of July and August. Again, the on civil, it's typically civil, and usually there seems to be a lot on the units that we know have had more violent patients. But in this last month, there was no one, I think there was someone that needed some care, but no one that needed to go to the hospital, which is good. But recently, in the last, I'd say, week or two, there was a terrible attack on one of the psychiatrists, which is awful. He's in the hospital recovering. There's surrounding ulterior motives for the person that wanted to do it that we can't talk about in an open meeting, but I'm glad that the doctor's okay, and that it wasn't any worse than it was. So that was one of the pass downs. Let's see, they said that April to July, the assaults were getting better. That was about another patient. Let me look at where all my notes are. The patient assaults had been getting better. There was, from September 12th, there have been more assaults that week, but they had been going down. They did start a new team to focus on assaults. They've had one, but now they have a two-headed approach. They have an assault team, a self-harm team, and a trauma-informed care training so they can try to get to the root. Sometimes when the patients are acting out, as in certain situations, there's other things going on that trigger it. It could be family, it could be things going on outside the hospital that the patients hear of, and then they act out. As we did get a letter from a mother stating that her daughter that is in on the civil side was assaulted a couple times by males. And that is true. The person also has a lot of falls. So she's a fall risk, and she's been an assaulter. So it's not always when she has bruises that she's been assaulted. She's got a public fiduciary, so they're notified anytime there's anything going on with her as their, that's her guardian. I think what else they have had, we've had discussions on, are they in COVID lockdown? Are they not in COVID lockdown? Units have been in COVID lockdown again, sometimes for 14 days to 20 days. They said that they are allowing food visits. They're happening, but they don't allow the visitor to eat. Their outings are going on. I asked where they are in the community, and they said various places. I asked if they were primarily in libraries and malls, and they said those are definitely places that they use. And they said when they go to the library, some of the people get on and download music for their MP3s, and they take advantage of what the library has to offer. They said that the new salaries are in place. They've had new people coming in, but they've still had resignations. You mentioned, Melissa, that the security tech wanted to be a behavioral health tech, but he doesn't want to be behavioral health on civil. That's not an uncommon something that you hear, because civil is often much tougher than the forensic side, with a lot more assaults. If there's one on forensic, that's one thing, but there'll be 60 on forensic, on civil. Not all requiring medical attention. Most do not, but some do. But they're spitting and pushing and throwing water and hitting people. It happens. They're trying to also develop some core staff on their problem units over on civil to minimize any registry people going in there, so that they know the patients, they know the triggers, they have developed some relationship to try to prevent some of this acting out when there's a new person there. They're looking for people and training them to give good de-escalation skills. And I think that was part of the pass down from the hospital. Summer, I see you on. There was a vote earlier, maybe before you got on, that we have requested to review the video and the incident that you had reported. So. Okay, and we will talk to administration over the issues brought up and the patient visits. We have a motion to follow up on the items that Melissa discussed when we meet with administration on the 24th.
I'll motion. This is Melissa. Can I motion?
Yes. Okay. And I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
So moved. We'll follow up on that list of things that from the patient visits that they asked us to follow up on. Now, let's see what else we have. Dr. Potts, since you're on, we did talk about the Olmstead, and I did send out the links. The only person that didn't get it was Kay, our forensic member, and Larry is going to get those to be printed out and sent to her, so she and others can review it and send me any information. For Kay, just call me, and you can tell me yours since you can't email.
Okay.
So anything else, Dr. Potts? I know I didn't make your meeting last night. Anything from your IOC?
We're actually meeting next week because that happens to be the third one of the month. Mm. So, which is very odd. Unless my math is wrong. No, this is again Dr. Potts from Central Arizona IOC. I really appreciate the work you, Lori, and your team put together on the Olmstead issues, because they are very pertinent, more so in some ways to ASH than a lot of other places, number one. Number two, one of the concerns I've had over decades is that, and I'd like you to think about this, is that the forensic unit has some very problematic personality disordered individuals who don't need to be with the seriously mentally ill, in my experience. And I think the statute is problematic. Years ago, when we looked at it, some of the more difficult, inappropriate patients were those who came to the forensic unit via a plea bargaining process. That means they did not have a judicial determination of guilt or innocence. for insanity. It was submitted as a plea bargain, which is a different standard, to my understanding, and that of the lawyers and judges with whom I've spoken, than if it was a trial to the bench or a trial to a jury. So it's something to think about, and it's something we may be looking at, I may, and some others may be looking at separately to rectify, because when the law was written, and I know this because I was on the committee, it was proposed that, in the law says, a trier of fact shall make the determination of guilty, except in the same. And it was meant to probably inartfully preclude the plea bargains, because it's so easy for defense to say, hey, we'll plead John Doe here, who's got multiple priors, et cetera, to insanity. He gets off the streets, going to serve 5 years at state hospital, and the prosecution says, fine, that's fine with me, as long as we get him off the streets. So a plea bargain, to me, has had some, a lot of the patients we've had have been problematic with that, and I know that. I don't know if that continues that way, but it's something to think about. Should the guilty except insane, and this I know is treading differently on, you know, it's not a human rights issue, but in some ways it is, because I don't want psychopaths or antisocial individuals without a major mental illness being housed with those who are vulnerable and mentally ill. And plea bargains, I think, permit that to happen as an easy out for both defense and prosecution.
So, Dr. Potts, what if you have both serious mental illness and personality disorder? If you have any of that combo on civil or forensic, how do you treat? And that's just a question.
No.
As a psychiatrist, can you treat that?
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is that means they have, in the old parlance, an Axis 1 and an Axis 2. You know, we have that all the time. But it's those who come in who only history seems to be drug use, intoxication. Had one guy who got out, I've seen, there's a number of cases like this who clearly have no real mental illness. We had one guy who was there for years who was not on any psychiatric medications whatsoever for his 3 or 4 or 5 years of stay. It's an interesting issue, because some of the more problematic individuals are those who are victimizing others. But anyway, so it's a thing to think about. And of course, if there is and I've talked to Dr. Gafoor, who started the program, at length about this, if there is an underlying disorder, you know, then you have to treat that. And you have to deal with that, even though they may have an antisocial personality disorder as a basic personality, but they still may be schizophrenic or be bipolar or whatever. So those are not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those who it's easy to say, hey, let's put John Doe, let's do a GEI on John Doe, and then he ends up there. And frankly, I trust the judges and juries officially to make the distinction. And a lot of times you don't have to go to a jury trial. You could do a trial to the bench, or sometimes even submission. But that's just an interesting social thought that we're going to be looking at. If you have questions, let me know. And as I say, I was on a committee that wrote that law decades ago when Senator Patty Nolan was chair of judiciary in the Senate. The next thing is we did a site visit at CBI, which some of you team members may be interested in. It was very interesting. We'd done that once before. We did an unannounced site visit at CBI, which is the Urgent Psychiatric Center in Mesa. And it surprisingly gets so overcrowded at times. It was clean, but people were crowded in, men and women were crowded together. They did try to separate them by chairs with 3 feet apart in most cases. And they're just reclining chairs. But what surprised me is that they have a no denial admission policy. So what you have, what we have is not infrequently half of the patients there will just be there because they're homeless. They show up, say they need a place to go, they need a place to stay and spend the night, and they're admitted. It's an interesting issue. You know, they obviously say the right things, but that was the person's statement. And so it'd be interesting to sort of look at that from our side, because is it holding up? Is it taking beds from those who may need them? Mm-hmm. So, but it was an interesting site visit. And then we also went to another place, which was quite good for a mandatory sort of 30-day SMI substance abuse program run by, I think it may have been Taros, but it was near there. Anyway, so we're trying to get back into site visits again. And we're also, thanks to Lori and her work, and Holly and Josh and the team, dealing with Olmsted as well, trying to see what we can do to put our voices with yours regarding Olmsted. Anyway, that's all the news there is from CAIOC.
Thanks.
Questions? Thank you.
So I forgot to report on the forensic forum that happened September 5th because I was going to report it last month, so I'll go quickly. Opinion was on lockdown during the forum. PSRB still not meeting. It's a concern. It's a due process concern. Patients want to know if any rules or procedures will change when it transfers to Superior Court. It shouldn't, but that's a question to ask. Staffing issues may become better with the past legislation from the governor's office. There's a new barber that started on August 22nd. They're trying to engage a barber school and college to get more assistance. And Michael Sheldon was open to looking at organic hair dyes, which the previous CEO was not. They're still looking for a chaplain. We'll see. As far as the hair dyes, Michael Sheldon asked Scott to check into it. They also asked about Etsy accounts or storefronts so forensic patients can sell their wares. The DOC inmates have the ability to sell their stuff, so they think that forensic patients should have that same right. The public defender of Pima County is not responsive. The old person used to be, the new person just isn't responsive and saying they're not accepting new clients. So Mike Sheldon was going to check that. Again, the hamburger issue taken off the menu, sandwiches were substituted. The administration's looking into that. Fagel said thank you to administration. They bought them a new exercise bike on the unit. The old unit was falling apart. Also on Sago does not have a DVD player or Blu-ray. They need one with the HDMI jack, not the RCA jacks. And administration is going to look into getting that or buying them a new one. PlayStations need to be updated to the latest software. The staff generally needs to take the system, move it out, do the updates. What Michael said, and I think it was, oh gosh, I'm trying to remember his name, big, tall, black man, saying that he suggested that it would be nice if they had a schedule to come and take them out at night when the patients are sleeping, update their PlayStations so they have the latest software and they don't have glitches in their games. And they're going to look into setting up a schedule. Pet therapy, Stella comes through, but it's volunteer. They're going to reach out and see if she can come more often. Pinion wants access to medical marijuana. That's not going to happen. They still are having major... Oops. Hold on a second. I'm getting an echo. Okay, let's see. Patients concern about walking horse issue. They're expensive and cheap. What's the new COVID protocol? Hold on. Sorry about that. I was getting such an echo, I couldn't stand it. Again, that wanted to know what's the new protocol for COVID. Are they going to remain together? They talked about their food issues with the vendor. They've been notified and they want to keep the vending machines full. They asked about emails for patients. The concern from the administration was that they would contact forbidden people. I suggested that electronically blocking off people were on the do not contact list and victims would be a pretty easy thing to do, electronically. They wanted to, again, to check on why they stopped taking photos. Patients, rehab used to come around and take photos. Volunteer would take patient photos so they could send pictures to their families. Administration's gonna look into it. Mojave wants to get education. I brought up the fact that we did have a philanthropic foundation that would pay for education, but it got dropped through COVID as they needed the hospital to take over after I got the agreement to pay for it. Adequate staff on first and second. They based it on acuity. They wanted to explore how they could get more outdoor time. So they were troubleshooting with Michael Sheldon to see maybe if they could share staff and have different ratios, and if the patients all behaved, especially when they're on forensic, they would be able to get more outdoor time, even if they're lighter on staff, and if anyone misbehaves, then they go back to the way it is. And the question was, CRU, why are there so few people there? So that was it for the forensic forum. And again, October 14th is the civil. Any questions before we go on to the few reports that we wanted to review? Okay, we're making good time since I have to drop soon. Accident report number AS 2022-2835. Again, it was someone that approached and attacked a registry staff, upset because they couldn't get their snack on time. Code was called, person refused, just lowered their weight and refused to walk. So they did take the, and they were headbutting staff, which is unfortunate. They did use a restraint chair to transport the patient back into the room. And they're finding that the restraint chairs are a good way when someone has, you know, just refusing to move, that they can use it. So I'm glad to see that those are being used. Let's see. Again, there were a lot of hits, assaults, patient on patient, patient on staff, none of which required hospital visits this time, except for the recent one in September of one of the psychiatrists, but that's not in these reports. Okay. We had an AWOL attempt. It always is concerning when you hear AWOL attempt. This is from Civil Campus. It was AS 2022-3478, but it's not as alarming as when I first heard. Basically, the patient was out for a medical appointment, and when they came back, they were getting the person out of the vehicle and they just took off. Both the driver and the staff ran after the patient and they caught him, the patient, out on 24th Street because they were right there by the civil campus, which is close. And they caught him, brought him back in, which, you know, unfortunately, next time he goes to an appointment, then he's probably going to have to wear the TSDs. Because if you run once, then they're going to make you wear them. So if there's anything else. Nothing, nothing really major. I was going to show, let's see if I can get this over. We did have, as far as the assault top perpetrators, again, I had nothing on the forensic unit for the last 2 months. On the civil side, you had one, two, three, four. In July, you had 5 people responsible for 50 acts of aggression. And so that's 5, and the other 110 patients, between them, they had the 37. Now in August, 6 patients had the majority of the assaults, and the rest of the patients had 28 incidents. The same is true for restraints and seclusion. Any questions on that? Again, I think it's on September 24th. I think it's at 4 or 5 p.m. Meeting with administration. The CEO wants to have a discussion about how they engage in our meetings moving forward, starting, I think, in, it would be next month. If any members want to come with me, we can't have a quorum, but you can let me know if you'd like to attend. I can give you that information. It'll be over on Ash campus. It'll be in person. And with that, let's open it up, if we have nothing else, to public forum, because I'll almost make my 7 p.m. meeting. So public comment. Again, let us know if you want your name in the minutes.
Okay, this is Rodney on opinion. I guess I'll let Tim speak because he's got an issue first.
Hi, this is Tim Robrusco.
Hi, Tim.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. There's an ultimatum being used with me. It is either I test my sugars daily for 2 months, or I don't get my Libre glucose monitor back, and I do not get an hour of work. This is a civil rights violation because I have the right to refuse medical service if I want, and they're forcing me to have to test my sugar in order to get a job, and they're forcing me to test my sugar manually through poking my finger once a day. Well, they want more than once a day, but for at least 2 months to obtain my Libre sensor back, and that's the one that goes on the back of my arm, and I can test 400 times a day without drawing a drop of blood. But I don't feel that that's too cool. I put in a grievance, and it's went nowhere. They fed us a drumstick waffle cone a couple weeks ago, the best before date on it, where it says BB, was dated 2 years, 9 months, 2 weeks, and 4 days old. When you squeeze the waffle cone, it collapsed together. You could turn it and twist it and pull it and it stretched. When you go to an ice cream parlor and get a waffle cone, if you grab it, it snaps real easily and breaks. This, you could fold it over in half. And we kept the wrapper, and it, they told us it wasn't in our SMI rights for the food rights, because we wrote a grievance on that, and Mr. Skaggs said that it wasn't in our SMI food rights that we had, and it, that we had any right to grieve it. Well, would you feed yourself or your kids something that's 2 years, 9 months, 2 weeks old? I highly doubt it. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay, I'm Rodney High. I'm on Pinion also. You can put my name in the minutes or whatever it is, public record. Okay, thank you. I just have some few things to say. I'll watch my clock. I don't drink the water because of the chlorine, the chemicals, and they won't give me just purified water unless I take a blood test. But I have a right to refuse medical testing or treatment, and I stand on that right. And because of that, they won't give me water to prove that I'm dehydrated. But I think it's just a no-brainer. If I don't drink water, humans need water. Therefore, I am dehydrated. It's just a no-brainer. It's 2 and 2 equals 4. So we have no access to a notary for indigent persons. It discriminates against indigent persons because they have to pay $50 to get a notary. It's against our legal right to execute instruments. There's a thing with the copies. They keep batting the ball back and forth. The techs tell us that you have to get with your social worker, and the nurse tells you we can't do it. You have to get your social worker, and then we talk to the social worker, and the social worker refuses to give us copies. I just want to make a straighten the record out. They're saying about this patient with a therapy dog. Please get this correct. It is not a therapy dog. It is a service dog. The laws are much different for a service dog, not a therapy dog. This is against people. I hear the therapy dog. Can you get that dog away from the curtain? Anyway, get your little dog away from the curtain. There's been bacon in the soup. That's against people who, especially, are Muslim. That probably just defiled their bodies because they didn't know that the bacon was in the soup. If they ate that, the Muslims probably aren't going to get their, 21 virgins or something. That defiled their religion. I feel sorry for them. I don't know what they're going to get instead. Saguaro uses our patio exclusively. They don't switch to other units, and they take our prime time, a cool time in the morning for our patio. I guess that's enough for now. I'll let other people speak. There's a lot of other issues, but that's it.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, who else?
Hi, this is David McCarthy from SEGO.
Do you want your name in the minutes?
What's my name?
You want your name in the minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
I talked to you guys last month about my clothes, about them being religious, my clothing and everything. And I just want to let you know that I did mention that my clothes are religious, and it's part of my religion to wear them, to practice my religion and wear them, and they're just still denying me my clothes. Hmm. And it's, you know, like we said, it's not real metal. It's fake. It's plastic with a metallic coating that makes it look like metal. And the chains are no longer than 5 inches long. I mean, we can measure them if needed be. And they're not really dangerous. And I'm able to have a belt around my waist with metal studs on it. And they're saying no clothes with metal on it. That just doesn't make sense. I mean, like, you're just dictating yourself. or cut, what's that word I'm looking for? Did I say it right? All right, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else that would like to speak? Anyone else? Public forum? If none being heard.
Yeah, this is Tim Briscoe again.
Okay.
When you guys make your rounds and call people, we have a new OCGA lady, and her name is Tara.
No, she's human. She's a patient, right?
Yeah, OCGA.
No, that's
a grievance and appeals lady.
No, it's patient's right.
Well, patient's right lady, whatever. Her name is Tara. When you contact her, please let her know that I would like to see you guys over the computer or over the phone or however. I would like a visit from you. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, if there's no more new business, again, team, remember if you want to come on to our meeting with administration or to the civil forum, please let me know. Otherwise, I'll motion to adjourn. I have to be somewhere. Do I hear a second?
I second.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We are officially adjourned. Thanks, guys. Sorry we had to make it such a quick one.
Thank
Talk
you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.